This year has been an odd one. 2020 kicked off January 1st, and my resolution was to lose some weight, and I've done well. Lost anywhere from 14 to 18 pounds, so almost 20 pounds. But it's kind of like, fluctuates a few pounds here and there. But I've lost some weight. That's my New Year's resolution. You remember that at Studio D, I purchased a new scale, a smart scale, to help me to be able to keep track of that weight loss process and my progress. And it's been cool to see the graph. And those of you who picked up one of those scales know that it is really, really neat to be able to pull out your smartphone and see the trends and it's like a challenge for yourself, a bit of an encouragement. Just to know the numbers, I think, has been really, really helpful for me. But that's how the year started off. So, hey, one good thing came out of 2020 so far. And then we found out that we had to move Category 5 Technology TV at the end of February. So that was not too far into the year at all. Made the announcement, and we held a Kickstarter campaign, which was successful. And I thank you so very much for your support. And we had to move at the end of March. But as you know, of course, this whole pandemic thing kind of took off mid-March. So here in Canada, it was a couple weeks into March when things really started getting serious. And so we moved everything in as best we could, but I couldn't have my team here really helping to unpack or get things set up. And so it's been that kind of struggle to get to the point where we're up and running at full capacity. And we're not there yet. I can't wait until Henry Bailey Brown can be here in the studio with me, probably like on another camera over in the far corner, but he'll be here. Jeff Weston will be here. Sasha Rickman has had to move across the country to Newfoundland, but she'll be here in some way or another. And one of the cool ways that Sasha has been able to participate in our community, even through this time, and how some of our community has been able to keep in contact and kind of keep up to date with what one another are up to, is through a program that we host called Coffee Break. And our Category 5 Community Coffee Break is held in general once a week. We do have the occasional exception, including this week, because I am going to take my wife and kids away for the weekend, and I'm really looking forward to a little bit of downtime. I think we all need a little bit of respite every now and again. And this week, it's time for me to get the kids out of the house and go somewhere and just kind of relax and spend some time together to just playing board games and things like that. Having campfires. Really, really looking forward to that. And 'tis the season. We can't do everything that we normally do. We can't go window shopping. We can't go, you know, taking the kids into all the stores that we normally would up in cottage country and all that kind of stuff. And can't do our grocery shops the same way that we used to. What a world, eh? I posted on Twitter this morning with my mask on at work that who knew when 2020 started that I'd be a ninja, or at least I'd look that way. But so with the rare occasion where we're not actually holding one, typically it is once a week that we hold the community coffee break. And the whole purpose behind that, and I'm talking about, you know, this is all that's been going on, and I know that everybody's been affected differently throughout the pandemic, but the coffee break was set up specifically to give us a place to go. Just like I'm going away to the cottage this weekend, it's a place for you, our community. The Category 5 TV Coffee Break is a place for us to all get together and just go, just get away from it all. Just have some respite, some time to hang out with the community members and just be ourselves, have fun, chat about random things, the technology that has us excited this week, and not talk about the things that are bringing us down. That's the Category 5 Community Coffee Break. And let's take a quick look at some of the many highlights of the Category 5 Community Coffee Break. And I'd encourage you, as you watch these clips, to check in and visit the Category 5 Community Coffee Break by going to our website. Category 5 TV is category5.tv. And when you're there, scroll down on the homepage and you'll see the schedule for the coffee break. And I'd encourage you to be a part of that. It's a very small, tight-knit group right now. And I know that our community is much, much larger than what's represented in the coffee break. And that's part of why I wanted to show you, because maybe you don't know that you can join it too. And I'd love to have you as a part of it. So let's take a look at some of the highlights. There have been, wow, I think it's like 63 coffee breaks so far. Wow, right? So among those are some gems and some where we just sat around just hanging out. But among those, I've pulled some clips just to show you a little bit about what goes on the coffee break. So here you are.
A really cool thing about the Pine Phone is that it is completely modular. Well, you know, as much as most phones can be. It's got a removable battery.
Oh, yes.
That's a standard Samsung. That's a standard Samsung J7 battery, so you can get them really easily, even though this one's branded Pine Phone 4. It's just a standard battery. This is the module that does the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and...
Oh, no. What timing? Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and what?
I'm glad it wasn't just me.
You dropped out there, Bo. You said this is the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and...
GSM. So that's a... It's a QuickTel module. So this actually runs a stripped down version of Linux on it. So that's the only closed part of the entire phone is that module right there.
Is it just me, or is this like Mark Shuttleworth's dream coming to light in a lot of ways?
Let's see if I can get close enough here.
Canonical really wanted to do the Ubuntu phone, right? And this is a Linux phone, folks.
So you can, I don't know if you can see it, but these are DIP switches right here.
Nice.
Those are hardware disable switches for different things. This little white label next to it tells you what they are. It's modem, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, microphone, rear camera, front camera, and headphone. That's what you can turn off by hardware.
Do you sell those at Ameridroid?
We will be as soon as they're available. And then this right here is our pogo pins. Mm-hmm. So these are I2C interface to the phone.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
So people can make like keyboard cases or extended batteries or anything that does I2C
expansion. Nice. Yeah.
And this is like, how much is a Pine Phone? Remind me, Bo.
It'll be less than $200.
Wow. Yeah.
And so here's Manjaro running.
So it's not running Android. It's running Linux.
It's running Linux. Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to do this backwards. Oh, yes. So anyway, I'm not sure exactly what I'm doing because I can't see it.
Good ad
review, Bo.
Good ad, but you sold me. I'll take one. You sold me.
I want one even more now. That I2C on the back is really
absolutely.
Turning me on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, today so I found the one of the that I was planning to show you yesterday, but I didn't find it. And then this morning I remember that I have one box tucked away in another room that I didn't look inside.
Is that? I thought it was a Game & Watch. Oh, yeah, my goodness. Yeah. Liam, come see this. Can you make a noise for me? Oh,
yeah,
there it is.
Making a noise. This one.
An actual Game & Watch.
Yeah.
Pre-Nintendo. So that was what created the Nintendo.
Yeah. It's from 1985. I've had it. I've had this one for 21 years now.
And I understand, like, if that didn't happen... If that guy wasn't such a pushy salesman, it Nintendo might not have happened.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And it still works. I put these batteries for today.
You're cool, eh? That's
Is that a Nintendo product?
No, that was pre... Well, they might say Nintendo on it, does it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, because there were two vendors, and I don't know remember the name of the other one, but it was a clone of Nintendo, and I used to have one of the clones, and I had the one. It was breaking out of prison. It was a searchlight going all around, and you had to avoid the searchlight, and you had to avoid two guard runs, and then you had to walk up to the fence, and the first one had to knock a hole in the fence and then escape. And yeah, I think I had my all time high was almost 500 points. And at that, and when closing, passing 400 points there, searchlight was really going fast. I had that for 3 or 4 years. And then we moved, and I haven't seen it since.
If I recall correctly, I think Game & Watch was a device out of Japan that Nintendo didn't create. Nintendo already existed, but Nintendo would have folded if Game & Watch, the guy who was selling Game & Watch, came to them and said, please carry this. So they've slapped their name on it, and it became a Nintendo product and made Nintendo what they became, I guess.
Well, you're calling it a gaming watch.
Game & Watch.
Okay, so how does that thing convert to a watch?
Because it also has a watch. So
does it have a clock at least?
Yes.
There you go. And what's GWG doing down there? We can't see what you're working on because your mic isn't on. I see that.
This?
Yeah.
This is my gaming system.
Nice.
Nice.
This is a little one. I built three of these. This is the little one. There's a medium-sized one that I built because my nephews were fighting over the fact there's only one controller on this thing.
Oh.
And then there's the full-size arcade cabinet that I built for a friend after they saw the other two.
Sweet. Liam wants to show you guys his retro gaming console.
Oh, is that the new one? Is that the new one?
Right up to the... That's the At Games. This is the Sega Genesis. Oh. Do you want to put on like Sonic? Show them how cool it is. Yeah, it's got like what about 2,000 Sega games on it?
I was hoping to get one of those new Odroids, but I gather it's backordered.
Hold it up to the camera. Oh, he's got Sonic running for you guys. Copyright infringement right here.
Oh boy!
You guys see that?
Yeah. Nice.
He got his own. Nice.
It's really hard to see on camera, isn't it?
Yeah. It's some glare or something.
It's actually, these things are awesome. That's cool. Nice, buddy. Those things are awesome. It takes an SD card, so you can pop a ROM on it, and it will boot the ROM. Hey, guess what happened this morning, guys? You'll never guess.
The alarm worked?
I got to work where I am now, and maybe 10 minutes later, 15 minutes after I got here, I got a phone call from our alarm company that our alarm was going off at the new studio.
I was going to say the alarm went off. I had a feeling it was something like yeah. that. I was gonna say it jokingly, but I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah. So my initial thought was, oh, okay, well, there must be a false alarm. Like, you know, we just had it installed on Saturday, right? So sometimes there's some kinks to work out. So I emailed the alarm company and asked them to send me a copy of the manual so I can reprogram the terminal thing just in case it was a false alarm. And I went there and everything was fine. So I called off the police and told them we didn't need anyone because it was a false alarm. And then I went back over my surveillance footage just on a whim. And sure enough, 8:37 this morning, my door opens wide and a guy walks in, looks around, looks around, and then the alarm starts going off, and then he quickly gets out. And
how did he get in?
Exactly. So that was my thought. So I'm sitting there watching this surveillance video, and I can't see his face. I can't see any because I haven't set up the surveillance yet. So It was just the camera in the office happened to be pointed toward the door. So I saw the door open, a guy walk in, you see kind of his right side, and he's looking around, and then he gets out of there when the alarm goes off. Right. So as I'm watching this footage, I hear somebody rustling on my door. So I jump up and I run to the door of the studio, and I whip it open, and I say, "You can't come in here." Remember, I'm just watching the surveillance, and I see this guy in my place. Turns out he's one of the maintenance workers at the complex.
Oh, no.
And he didn't, when they leased out our unit, they didn't mark us as a leased unit. They had, because they're short staffed, right? Because of the COVID-19, they've been closed. Yeah. So we're moved in. We've got our alarm set up, but they didn't mark it as not vacant. So
he thought it was empty.
He thought it was empty, and he's going around from all of the empty units. He's got a clipboard of all the empty units, and they do an inspection at the beginning of every month. I guess presumably to prepare them for that month's tours and trying to rent it out. But so he had walked right in. He had a key, obviously. He just walked right in, set off the alarm, and he's just freaking out. And of course, his first impression of me is me yanking the door open and yelling at him. So I'm like, "Oh man, I'm so sorry. Geez. I had no idea who you were or what you were doing. All I know is that the police are here. My alarm went off this morning. I got to call the alarm company and get them to reset the code." And yeah, so that's how my day started.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that happened this morning?
Happened this morning, yeah. Oh, so I got a voicemail. I got a voicemail from the property management company, all apologetic, and they're going on about how it'll never happen again. We've marked the lease. We're so sorry.
Wow.
So I'm just hoping.
Why was that?
I'm really hoping I don't get a bill for a false alarm.
A good point, because if the police get called out, they'll charge you for that. So.
And you want to know what's neat is that. I got there within 10 minutes and the police were already there.
Oh, yeah.
They were.
They don't mess around with that stuff.
Yeah.
I poured myself a coffee in this particular mug as a reminder to let you know that Andrew Lloyd Webber is broadcasting the 25th anniversary stage production of the musical on YouTube this weekend. So it's a limited time thing. It's for 48 hours, I think, in the UK and 72 hours in the rest of the world, I believe, because of copyright. So I posted the link to that under, I forget what the videos channel is on Discord. I think it's called like Interesting Videos. Mm-hmm. Our channel on Discord. If you click on there, it's the last video that I posted, but it is limited. It's only this weekend if you want to see the stage production, which I think is cool because growing up, being such a fan of the Phantom of the Opera as a child, having seen it at Pantages Theater when I was in grade 6, and then like following the musical for years after that, I always wanted to have a recording of the actual stage production rather than the movie. The movie came out and that was something, but it wasn't as good. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see a proper produced stage version of the show. So that's really cool.
I went to see it in a smaller theater. So it was not as majestic as it would have been in one of the larger theaters. And I did get the original, the CD of the original cast recording.
So with
but not
original video, Canadian just, or UK?
This was UK, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. I would as soon as I hear it.
I know
here it was Colm Wilkinson here.
No, that wasn't the right one.
No, Colm from Ireland was the Phantom here in Canada.
Okay.
So
I know that you're talking about, and I'm trying to find the CD, and I don't I just don't see it offhand.
I want to say Kevin or Brian or something like that, but I can't think of it.
Maybe I'll switch around my camera and I can like give you a little bit of a walkthrough of what I've been doing.
Yes, please. Yeah. Yes, please.
If I can. Okay. So let's see. I'm really new at this.
I'm getting really dizzy. Wow. So, okay. Here we are. Sorry. Okay, here we go.
So have you ever taken carpet adhesive off of floorboard? It's horrible.
Very difficult.
I've been using that iron on steam and just steaming the bejeebas out of that. If I go to the other side of the attic, obviously there's still like lots of work that needs to be done up here.
This is like a horror movie.
Yeah.
When you move really quickly.
This is going to be my Cat 5 office.
There's plenty of room up there. But is it insulated, though? Is it insulated, though? I mean, what's it going to be like in the middle of summer?
That'll be hot.
Well, it's really stinking hot right now.
I'm not surprised.
There's no insulation in the rafters there.
Nope, none at all.
In the winter, it'll be terrible.
Yeah, you're going to have to insulate that whole area there, Sasha, for that to be viable. Yeah.
That is my washing machine. This should be my office down here.
Yes, you really need to make this part of your office. It's far more suitable.
Yeah, and in really hot days, it will be cooler.
It'll be cooler. Yep. Yeah,
that's true.
In my house,
this should be cooler. This should be much better.
32 degrees last summer.
Yes.
Okay. What I think we've decided on is making a cluster of independent. So a cluster, as in multiple devices, but independent as in each one will have its own distro, Raspberry Pi unit, that will each have the Raspberry Pi OS and Zoom installed. And each one of those has an HDMI output. So then each Raspberry Pi becomes a camera source, essentially, for Zoom. So I'd have one Raspberry Pi dedicated to Jeff, and that would be HDMI out into his capture. And then when I push the button on the Stream Deck, it would switch to his camera, basically. And then have one for Sasha and one for Henry and however we want to set it up. So it's just like one Raspberry Pi per person. It might work. So that's kind of where...
I'm sorry. I think I missed what it is you were meaning to do with that Raspberry Pi.
Being able to have them come in remotely through Zoom.
Ah, I see. Okay, got it.
Because for the show, we obviously don't want this grid layout, and we can't have it so that it's switching back and forth every time someone speaks. And
but
also,
you need a separate input for each of them so you can edit them post as much as any way you like.
And even live, we need to be able to switch to the person who's speaking manually. Yes. And people may not realize, but Zoom cannot be running on the broadcast system because it's broadcasting. So that means the good camera that I use is out of it, basically. So during the interview or during the conversation, I would be on my phone, which would be
and you've
terrible.
Done you've done this before, though, as I recall, because you did the same thing.
Not live.
Oh, good point. Yeah, okay.
Live changes
live
everything.
Is a hot,
like
yeah,
that.
I was about to say
and,
the
and
same
we
thing.
We found that out Wednesday. We found that out when my PineBook Pro would not work for the feature. And then, so then signed off, rebooted, changed the way I connected things. I plugged the Atomos Ninja Flame into the PineBook Pro and pushed the cord.
Mm-hmm.
Worked flawlessly.
So we need about a half a dozen Raspberry Pi 4, 8 gigs.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think 4 would do it because 4 is as many inputs as I have.
Oh, that's not fun. That's not fun.
Yeah. So then we just, so basically that would allow us to treat each person on their Zoom connection as a camera source. So I think that could work, and it's probably a pretty good way to do it on the cheap. It's going to cost like, you know, 4 Raspberry Pis here in Canada is like $600. So, you know what?
It's like $2 American, right?
It's ridiculous. Robert said to me, because Robert's in Florida, right? And he's like, a Raspberry Pi, it's only $75 for the new one. Really? $110 here just for the board. Yikes. Plus, you got to buy the power supply. Plus, you got to buy the case.
I'm not even sure I'd use a Raspberry Pi for that anymore. I probably. Mm-hmm. You've already been desktop. Talking about the you've already been talking about the Odroid. What was it? C4, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't looked yet. I don't know if they're any cheaper. I need to hit up a Ameridroid and see see what they've got. But maybe that's
like
an option.
I like the way you think.
I really don't like how the Raspberry Pi and Marshman, you've seen this too, right? You've seen where the Raspberry Pi, if it loses power, potentially that SD card gets corrupted. You can't afford that, especially not live. So, you know, maybe that's an option. But I don't know what the price point is, though. So
maybe just a bunch of XU4s with eMMC running a Debian distro with a desktop. Yeah, I like what you're thinking. Yeah. And it's got HDMI out. I was strictly thinking, you know, I just need a SBC with some HDMI output. But you're right. It doesn't have to be Raspberry Pi.
Nope. You need for it to work, especially when you're live. You can't afford to be having it break down unexpectedly on you. Not to say that they will, but... if you lose power all of a sudden, then you're going to have a
But if you know lose what power and the SD card corrupting is the least of your problems.
That's a good point. Yeah,
if my my UPS is so weak it can't power 4 Raspberry Pis, I'm in trouble because that R510 is going down.
Well, you got a beeping at UPS, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I got to get new batteries in that thing.
Well, it's a good point. Yeah, I threw it out there for in case it would be, as an option. So,
yeah, I like that idea. XU4s or the new C4s, any of those would probably do just fine. It's really just plugging them in and then seeing how they operate with Zoom and full screen.
It's been so much fun getting to know certain members of our community, and I'd encourage you to become a part of our community coffee break as well. Just a great. Usually weekly place that you can come together on a Zoom meeting and be a part of our community in that way. So I'd encourage you to check it out. Category5.tv, just scroll down on the homepage and you'll find the schedule there, the past videos, everything else. And if you have any questions, join our Discord, and that is found by clicking on Interact, and then you'll see join our Discord server there at category5.tv.